I'm on the recovering end of getting my throat back together from a head cold. I feel much, much better. And no, I don't have a fever, so I'm not contagious. It's all good. So praise the Lord for that. I'm very happy, very excited to be here. I feel very blessed from the Word of God. And more, I'm learning that God can bless me no matter where I go. God can bless me no matter where I'm standing, what building that I'm in, what congregation I stand in front of, that I am still required to deliver that message just as anointed, just as Spirit-filled, and just as directed. Whether I feel like that I have it on easy street or whether it's the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. I'm excited I'm here. And as we were singing, Jesus, hold my hand, I'm just going to testify to this just because God blessed me with it. I was sitting there and I was just playing the piano and I just began to feel the Lord in my arms. I just began to feel the Lord in my hands as I was playing the piano, and I just began to feel the anointing. And it just let me know that even though that sometimes that when God's Spirit comes by and we may not come together in the moment, He was letting me know as I was playing that I'm with you. He was letting me know that, hey, I'm here. If you're willing to step out for me and begin to worship me, I'm here with you. I don't know if I was the only one that felt the stirring and the presence of God, but He is here. Not was here, not passed by, but is here if you reach out and get a hold of it. I feel excited for the word that God's given me. It's really, really broken my spirit. It's really teaching me. Because a lot of times our biggest mistake is when we think we know everything. Lord, have mercy. I don't know anything. Because I'm beginning to realize as He shows me and shows me in His word that I'm just, oh man. We were given a brain to be able to function in this earth. But I don't feel like that we were given a brain to be able to understand everything that's within God's plan. It was built to be able to handle this body. And He revealed some things to us. All that I ask for tonight is that you support and pray for me. And I give you my word that I will give you my heart and my obedience as God will lead me. That's all that I ask. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you turn in the book of Luke chapter 5, I've been in Luke lately and in Mark, and we'll read quick, preach quick. I promise I will go as quick as I can as God will lead me. I'll give you just a second to get there. And I'll just go ahead and read, and then we'll go back to the thought. I feel the Lord. I'm getting excited now. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. This is Jesus. Right before this, before we start reading here, He just healed somebody from leprosy. And the word has just got around. The word has spread. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee in Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So there was prayer, there was withdrawal, there was separation, and then there was the presence of God to heal. So I just want to start there for a second. There was withdrawal of self. There was separation from the fame. Separation from the multitude. Separation from rumor has it, he said, she said. Separation from everything. And prayed. We can get ourselves away from it all and dwell on the wrong thing. We can get away from it all and find peace of mind because we're justified and we think we're right. But there was prayer involved. There was prayer involved. And I don't feel like that it was just a few minutes of prayer. I don't feel like that it was even just like an hour or two of prayer. I feel like that it was enough prayer that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not just one, but them. Who's them? That there were Pharisees and the doctors of the law sitting by. which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Didn't leave anybody out. I mean, the power of the Lord can be that strong. If you work it. If you work the power of God in you. And you have the faith and belief behind it. You can go. You can do a good work. I'm going to go on. And behold, men brought in a bed man, which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him, before Jesus. And when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they couldn't find a way inside the building. They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord in this. I'm just going to go. Praise God. We have doors that we come in, that we walk into. We also have a place, a door that we walk into in our prayers. And that door that we enter into is when we finally give up on ourselves and our flesh dies out inside of us. And there's that breakthrough when we finally come across into God. And there's that humbleness and that spiritualness. And there's that part of you that begins to cry out in a way that we don't cry out when we're in our own self. There's a part of us that begins to believe in something bigger than us. There's something that we begin to believe, something that begins to churn. A faith that begins to drive us that wasn't there before we started to pray. And they had enough faith to believe that they broke down the tiling on top of the house. Considering the fact that this is a building, that it has a rooftop, and that it does hold out the rain. Considering that though that we do enjoy the ability to be able to worship here, that there might be some that would believe that even though they might not be able to get in through the doors, that if they thought that the presence of God was in this place, would they be willing to be able to tear down the roof? To be able to get into God's presence. And sometimes I think that we're not willing to get past the walls that we put up before God. And that we don't have enough faith to believe that we're able to get past the walls that we set up in front of us. That we're so caught up in our drama, so caught up in our sin, that we have no faith anymore in what God can do. And yet we know that the presence of God is just right there. Oh, he's just right there. And we can feel it sometimes. Oh, you can just see it on other people. And yet we won't do just a little bit of work. We'll just do a little bit of breaking inside of our hearts to let God know that we have a little faith. And God, we're standing for the truth. And God, we're believing for our healing. And God, we're believing for our finances. And God, we're standing in the gap for our family. I'm believing God in more. That just a little bit. And God, I'm believing that, Lord, if so help me, I needed to tear down the roof, I would, God. If it would get a hold of you to bless those in my life, I would do it. Amen. He was moved by the fact that they lowered him down by their faith, not the fact that they tore the roof. But by their faith, if they could get past that multitude, get past everything that was in the way. Now we're going to come in here sometimes and it's not going to be easy. Glory to God. Sometimes I wonder in me if somebody was in need. If I would quit being selfish and be willing to help carry the couch. Come on, somebody.
There's so many people, they're not paralyzed in body, but they're paralyzed in their life. They got nowhere to go. They feel like they got nobody to talk to. They're heartbroken. They're confused. They're depressed. They're oppressed. They've got no way out. They're in debt. They have no way through anything. They're hopeless. They've got nobody they can count on. They're looking for somebody to be able to pick them up. They've turned to drugs. They'll turn to alcohol. They'll turn to anything they can get their hands on. They're paralyzed. You could say that they are diseased if you want to. They're calling addictions and depression and everything else diseases anymore. I can't stop shaking my leg profusely sometimes when I sit. They call that a disease too, restless leg syndrome. They'll call anything something as long as it makes you feel like that you have an inability to do something. Satan will put anything in your path to make you feel like that you can't do what God has called you to do. There will be all kinds of stumbling blocks in the way. There will be all kinds of things that will try to hold you back. There's something significant about breaking the tile. The tilings in that day, the architecture of our modern day is to do it to code, to make it legal, to make it safe, to make it what it is that it has to be, and to go on. The tilings in that day were precise. It was well cared for. People were dedicated in making sure that every cubit, every single inch in our standard of measurement was done right. And they didn't care. They were going to get to where the healing was. They were going to get there. And sometimes we think that there's no hope at church anymore. I'm here to tell you that there is. And it's not in the people. Sometimes we think that it's in preacher, and it's in deacon, and it's in the song, but it's not. It's in your heart. It all starts down in here and how we begin to cry out to God. It's our relationship. It's what we make of it. It's our faith. It's what we do with it to move God. It's how we begin to call out on God in a greater way. It's our Holy Ghost that lives inside of our heart. It's our anointing that we begin to stir up more and more every day. If we do nothing with it, there's nothing to it. It's simple as that. You want to expect God to bless you, that you'd be able to step out and sing like the Gaithers? Come on now and be real with it. You got to believe God to bless you in those gifts. I'm still believing for that to happen to me one day. I don't feel like it's happened. I don't know if it ever will. But you just got to believe and continue to work in your gift. You can't just give it up altogether and just say, Lord, I'm going to wait until I can sing like the best in the land. You got it. If I would have said to myself, I'm not going to preach until I can preach like those that I see on TV, I would have never, ever, ever got up here and ever started preaching. All that I ever did was take that first step out and said, God, I know that if I open my mouth that you'll begin to fill it. I had a little bit of that faith. So I read all that scripture just to pretty much say that if we tear down our inner walls, this is the only thing I wrote down to sum this up. To tear down your inner walls, to get past yourself and your flesh. Was that one too long? I want to move on real quick. Luke chapter 8. Study to show yourself approved, and I'm striving. Hallelujah. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. This is referring to Jairus. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. You know why Jesus put them all out before he went to her, called her to rise? He was putting away the unbelief that was in the room. There was people in there that was laughing and scorning. She's already dead. You're not going to bring anybody back to life. Look at what we see. Look what I see. If I looked and based on what I saw, I might as well give up now, right? I might as well stop now, right? If I gauged everything that I did in my ministry based on what I saw, I would have already given up. You understand? If I would have based everything based on the responses that I got from every time that I preached, if I based it on the hands that I got raised up in the air every time that I preached, I would have already given up. Because that's not what I'm worried about. I put away my unbelief. I put out everything that would stand in my way. Because I'm not believing what I'm seeing with my eyes of my flesh. See, God wants us to believe with the eyes of the Spirit. He's wanting me to realize that I'm not preaching to the bodies in the seats. That there's something deeper, more to it than just the bodies in the seats. God is wanting me to be able to preach to the hearts and to know that there's love for everybody in the house of God. And that everybody has a place and everybody has a chance. But I have to get past my unbelief. I have to get past all my judgments. I have to be able to love everybody the same. And until I do that, I will not see the true fruition of God in my life. I will not be able to see the blessings of God. And we as the body of Christ won't either. Until we love everybody the same and God sees that true flow of the Spirit, there have been some services where we had 150 at the get-go, and then we get down to just 8 or 10, and it seems like the Spirit of God just began to flow. Now, I'm not saying that it's in the numbers, nor am I saying that it's in people, but I'm saying that when agreement finally links, when unity finally clicks, you can have unity with 500 people. You can have unity with a million. But that's what God wants. God wants love in everybody's heart. There's a scripture where it talks about that there was one that kept the spoils from the battle in his tent. We can't keep anything in here and expect God to bless us. I am being honest with you. I have no begrudging in my heart.
No.
I want God to bless everybody. Amen. All the same.
Amen.
And I'm not up here to do anything but see people get help, get saved, be delivered. I want us to be blessed. I want blessings from God. And I'm having faith. Woo! I'm having faith, Brent. And I believe that if you have that same faith and you step out in your obedience, that He'll bless you too. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. He'll bless you too. If you begin and put out everything. Come on now. Somebody do this with me. Put out everything that stands in your way. Come on. That might seem silly, but to get everything out of your mind. Man, there's so much stuff, Lisa, that just... The things that were on our mind could take as form of matter, as objects, and begin to live in our brain, we'd have stuff coming out our ears. And we'd be looking very funny. Because we're not willing to let go of things that nobody can see. You don't walk around with that knife in your hand. That's too sharp, and you'll fall on that, cut yourself. Okay, I'll put that down. But the very thought I could have of somebody that could cut them down, just as dangerous. Just as dangerous. Just as dangerous. None of that stuff can enter in. Without spot or without blemish. That's on the body and the mind. Without spot or blemish on the body and the mind. The Lord's working on me with my holiness of my body and my heart, but He's also working on me in my mind. Because that seems like that's one of the biggest battles for me. If I conquer my mind, I've got it made. Because it seems like that those are the hardest battles to win. If you can persuade yourself to obey God, I'm tired of persuading myself to obey Him every now and then. I want to be determined. Gail, I want to just come in and do it. I'm tired of persuading myself that maybe if I feel it a little bit, just a little bit, or if I feel something, or if it goes the right way for me, I might just come in and do it. I want to come in with some faith. I want to come in ready to do something. God's looking for people to be on patrol. He's looking for people to go out ahead and scout the land. He's looking for people to be ready to be able to defend when the enemy comes. That means there's all kinds of different things for people to do. All kinds of different pieces. Is this too hard? You think so? I thought so too, but the Lord said, preach it. And they laughed him to scorn. They might laugh at you. They might talk about you. Might not be willing to agree with you. Might not be willing to receive you. But you got to do it anyway. You just got to push past that anyway. Oh man, this excites me. I don't know if the word excites you like it excites me, but it does. Mark chapter 5. This is my last thing, I promise. I saved the best for last, I promise. Angela were talking about this the other day, and it really stirred me, and it kind of started this whole thing. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She had the issue of blood for 12 years. And, you know, and she was telling me that she wants to have that faith like the woman had, to be able to reach out and touch God, to believe. And I want to believe God like that with her. And I still believe that we serve a healing God. And I think that really does humble me. I know as I begin to press through the crowd in my life, I begin to let go of the crowd, begin to let go of the world, begin to let go of all the things that I held dear. And though I faced many trials and many temptations, it was not worth the touch that I felt from God. And though, since I felt that touch, that there have been many more things that have came my way, nothing has compared to the feeling of feeling whole.